The brain. The brain is so powerful. And yet, it's a beast to wield sometimes. You know, I wanted to get on here. The title of this right now is Abundance versus Lack. And I had some little technical issues. And I thought, you know what? I feel a little off. I'm not going to do it. And then I thought to myself, no, the thing I'm wanting to continue to do is to show up and show real, raw, and unscripted. You know, I call these jumpstart sessions. Ultimately, I know that I help people. Let's just put it that way. For a long time, I did not. And on and off, I have done stuff like this. But what has happened, and we'll tie this into abundance versus lack, is that, you know, and I talk a lot about ADHD. I help people who aren't, but I definitely, you know, videographers, creatives, video professionals, those who are neurodivergent, ADHD, I can really, 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 really get you. Because people who aren't don't get you. They don't understand. Everybody's a little ADHD, right? Well, yeah, you know, there's truth to that. But at the same time, it's completely different. It's kind of like saying, hey, everybody needs some glasses every once in a while. It's like, well, no, some people don't. But to get on here and show really, quote unquote, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I had this little issue with the sound and the technology. And then I thought, no, I'm not feeling it. I'm not getting on here. And then I thought, no, people need to see this. Because what I have, you know, grown to at times get jaded with the personal development self-help space is that there's this posturing, there's this stand on top of a mountaintop. I'm better than you. My problems are in my past. I've figured it all out. I've solved all these issues. And now I'm gonna share my solutions with you. And although there's truth to that, I've solved certain things or figured certain things out, and I'm gonna share some solutions. At the same time, I got to take a shower most of the time. I've got to brush my teeth, do that pretty much all the time. I've got to sleep every day. I've got to eat every day, right? So I have to, you know, work on my mind every single day. And if I don't, then the weeds grow and things fall apart. So I wanted to get on here. I thought, no, get over here. Cause I started, then I got out of my head and I was like, I got to do this. And I was going to try to go back. I started defaulting back to what am I going to say and how am I going to start? And I thought people need to see this because ultimately when it comes to abundance versus lack, the more stressed out you are about something is when you lack the abundance mindset, right? So to do this, if I only think this is the only video I'm ever going to record in my life, then that's a very lack mentality. And it's going to stress me out because I'm like, I got to get it right. I got to get it perfect. This is my only chance. This is my only opportunity. And this can happen in relationships. If you only got one girl or one guy that you think, oh, this is the only person. This is the only date. This is the only this. When you have, and especially ADHD people, we have this all or nothing, at times can be very rigid way of thinking about things. And I know that's the thing for me. I'm going all in or I'm not doing it at all, right? I'm at 100 or I'm at zero. And that's something that I have to play with. My brain moves very, 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 very fast. And people can see that when, you know, to get on these calls. I mean, if I get into a major flow state, which doesn't typically take me very long, because as soon as I get out of my head and think, I got to say this, and I got to do this, and I got to say this tip, and that tip, and these three tips, and these things, I got this note, and that note, that's not how I best operate. For some people, it is. So I'll never forget a lot of my, well, a couple things. I'm gonna tie in here with abundance versus lack when it comes to business and opportunities, when it comes to relationships, and I want to share that with you. So a lot of the time, and I call some of this light thought, heavy thought. So heavy thought, hard thought, overthinking, overanalyzing. There's a time and a place for that, right? It's not that heavy thought is bad thought and light thought is good thought. You know, we can do things that we don't think about and it can cause some major issues, right? You can do things you think through and it really solves some great problems that if you didn't take a little time to sit and think about it, you may have never solved this thing. For example, I mean, this kind of ties in, but my wife and I were hanging all this stuff around the house and I'm helping her out. Not necessarily the greatest handyman, but I do my best. But we were using nails and a hammer, right? And some people, you know, that know how to do things will say, what are you doing? Like, this is so easy. It's like, well, it's easy for you. You do it all the time. You're a builder, or you're this, or you do that thing all the time. And so what's easy for one isn't easy for all. And so what I found is that I was getting really frustrated because the nail process and the hammer process was not working out very well. And I kept, you know, banging my finger. I get irritated. My wife would be upset because then I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to help her. Then I got to get my dad or do something. It's like, oh my gosh. So finally I'm like, you know, I'm just trying this. I got my power drill and I got these screws, these longer screws. Let's just see. We'll just take them straight in the wall. And it worked. Like, it worked. And it was like, God, we saved so much time and so much struggle and so much issue. And it's like, what is that for you? Where is there a blind spot where there's something you're doing that there is an easier way to do it? You know, I'm all about, you know, it's not about rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns, and life's easy, and there's never a challenge. It's like, life is full of challenges. But why would I make my life more difficult by using the hammer and a nail in a situation where maybe a power drill and a screw would work better? Right? It's kind of like my buddy Steve always said, if you're a head of lettuce, find a salad. If you're a hammer, find a toolbox, right? But a lot of us, we're not eating hammers and we're not trying to use heads of lettuce to hammer nails. But in life, we're doing that. In business, in relationships, we're doing that. So in my life, I found that in business, the more I overanalyze and overthink, then the less I do. The less I do, the less I get. The less I achieve, the less fun I have, right? So if I can continue to train myself that there's a lot of opportunities, saying no is not a, you know, this is over, this is the end, but next opportunity, right? Next one, right? If we can continue to reframe our mind to see things differently, from a different lens, from a different perspective. I have three, I should start having these out. That one's already gone. I only have two of them down here, but I have multiple glasses. Right? This is clear, right? Now, I actually like the warm thing. I forget sometimes that they're on, but, you know, I've got that. These I usually only have on at night, but now I've like, it goes with my background, right? They look pretty cool. It goes in the background. But this gives a warm hue to everything. It probably makes me happier in certain levels because even if it's bluish and cold outside, it's still warm in my glasses. But like, we've got these glasses on and we see things through different, through certain perspectives. And sometimes there's a blind spot. And all day in my coaching, that's what I'm helping people do. Find their blind spots. See the things that they can't see. Help them bring awareness to that so that they can shift their perspective. I can help them see it through a different lens, see it through a different way, different perspective. And that makes their world completely different. And so in the past, when I've won the most, you know, I didn't reach out to Tim Ferriss back in the day. I've said this before, thinking, oh my God, if he doesn't respond to me, it's the end of my career. This isn't going to work. I've got to get him to respond. And I want to make sure I keep triggering myself to leave comments, like, interact. That's my absolute favorite thing. If you're on here and you happen to catch me live, right now I do these at different times. But if you happen to catch me on live, say hello, give me a rock and roll, give me a thumbs up. And don't hesitate to reach out. I do coaching. I'm not holding back anymore on that. I'm going to make sure that this is like 90% me free flowing, jumpstarting and giving value. And then making sure also people know I can help. So reach out. You can reach out whatever platform you're on. Send me a message, leave a comment, go to themindmechanic.net, go to the contact page there, reach out to me. See how I can help out. I can promise you it's not $5,000-$10,000 a month or anything. So just so you know, and I'm not going to shame and pressure you and push you to do anything. But if you want hope and you want help, reach out. It's like, I'll give you like a personalized podcast. I work with people, you know, in a very unique way. People love it, but anyways, so in regards to, that's the approach I took a lot of times. And that was so good because the more weight, the heavier you make something, right, then the more challenging it is at times to do it. And so I remember trying to reach out. I'll mention his name. I've said things publicly about it before, but something that was of recent times that I made very heavy. And I had this coach send me a message and it was great. If I can find it, I'll have to maybe pull it up later. We'll see. But, I remember sending him a message. I said, I'm going to the biggest meeting in my life because I was trying to partner with Parker Wahlbeck, who sold Full-Time Filmmaker now. And I was trying to partner with him. And I just thought, I just want to coach, which is still the truth today. Like, I'm doing some things to show up publicly because I know that my energy, my vibe, the words that I say make an impact for people I'll never interact with, I'll never talk to, I'll never connect with. But yet at the same time, my ultimate goal is to just coach and to just hear people. I say, when I hear you, I can help you. So I thought, I'm so tired of doing all these other things that I ended up saying, you know what? I'm great at connecting with people. Let me open up doors. And I thought, this is the guy. I can help these filmmakers. I can help these videographers. I've been where they want to be. I just fell more in love with doing this. That's really the extent of it. I never hated video. I was very good at it. And I just remember, though, I was on tunnel vision. I'm like, he is the only person, and I got to make this work with him, whatever I got to do. And, you know, there's at times nothing wrong with that. At times it serves a purpose. But what I also found was, is that I put a higher and higher expectation on making that work. And so I ignored everything else. And one could argue, again, that can be a good thing until it doesn't work. This is why a lot of people, when I talk about doing free work, they look at it through a negative lens, because either one, they're doing bad free work, which is typically free work where they're in control. They're being controlled by someone else. Someone else is reaching out to them to tell them to do things, or promising the moon, the stars, and the universe, or it takes them so long to do something. And so the longer you spend on something, then the heavier it gets and the more you have an expectation of an outcome, right? And so for me, I find that when I'm more light in my way of thinking, in my way of being, in my way of doing, right, more abundant, and know that there's a lot of opportunity. So what my coach that at the time had sent me goes, Gabs, give him the juice. He goes, whatever happens, happens. And there's another one that you can do, and another one, and another one, and another one. There's another opportunity, right? And that's huge. When you go into stuff with, there are lots of opportunities out there for me. There's a lots of relationships out there for me. There's a lot. Now, granted, this doesn't mean you just, I won't get into that right now, but it's like people can misinterpret things. But I think there's lots of relationships. That's probably part of the reason why people get divorced all the time too. But simultaneously, I also think it's why people get scared. They get scared to do something because they're afraid that they have one chance, that they have one opportunity. And the truth of the matter is, the more you do something, the better you get. The better you get, the more you'll be attractive to people personally and professionally, right? But if we stay kind of paralyzed and in our thoughts and in our thinking, and we never put what we learn into action, then that really creates a bad place to be. And that's what had happened to me. I had had so many good things happen, but I had a lot of things that were less than ideal. And so over time, my nervous system said, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. You've already wasted your time. Like, don't do these lives anymore. How many times are you going to do these lives, Michael? Right? How many times are you going to stop and start and stop and start? But yet, I keep coming back to this because I know that this format, in one form, fashion, or another, if I'm going to bring stuff to the world, is the format that is best for me. Then I can do whatever I got to do, whether it's running ads and sending people messages, whatever I got to do to get some help, to get some eyeballs on it, but I can't not do anything and promote something that doesn't exist, right? So I can't get eyeballs on something I don't do. So I have to start to get into the rhythm of doing something so that then people can see, oh, this guy does this, and then they can potentially even want to promote it. I've already had opportunities showing up here and doing this, right? But if I didn't show up, then I can't have those opportunities. I had a great opportunity in 2020 after the Parker thing that came through when Big C happened. And it was because I went live in Parker's group for like 9 months, and somebody else saw what I was doing there and made me a job offer to do something, right? But had I not been able to be publicly seen there, I couldn't have had that other opportunity happen. And so I just encourage each and every single one of you that whatever you're doing, if you want to make it a business, take an abundant mindset. Take the idea that there's not any single one piece of anything that is necessarily going to make or break you. It's only when you quit. It's only when you give up. It's only when you stop, right? So when I've had one of my best months in my coaching business in January in the last 2 years. I do not think that's a coincidence for the fact that my energy, my vibe, my enthusiasm, my excitement, the way that I'm showing up is completely different than it's been in the last 2 years. Because I haven't done too much of this where I've just kind of stepped back and go, just be you, right? But there can still be things that can be battling from the past. So what are you battling from the past? What do you have going on? And again, I encourage you, leave comments, send me messages. I just did a video yesterday where I was doing one of these based on the comment. I'm getting a process set up here really soon. I keep saying that, but it's probably going to be today, hopefully, where I'm going to record a video and really set up the process for what I'm calling hope. And hope will be help one person every day. And, you know, I would say, when I hear you, I can help you. And so the goal, I'll do some things with comments from time to time, but I guess in the big picture, I want people to submit their audio stories so that I can hear people. And the goal is to keep their side private and just hear my response. But that to me would be one of the greatest ways for me to create content and put things out here. It's a jumpstart an individual, one person every day. That's what I love. That's my unique advantage. There's lots of people who are great at scripting videos, making well-edited videos, lots of sizzle, lots of punch, but that's not me. I did that in my video career, but really at the end of the day, the only thing I loved was shooting, like shooting and people. Like, people are my number one. That's why I went to this, because as soon as I found out that I could bypass all the other stuff and just interact with people, that was like, oh my God, this would be fantastic. Because at the end of the day, sometimes like on shoot days, you know, I get to interact with people, but I'm spending 80%, 90% of the day, like running around like a chicken with my head cut off to get incredible footage. But to the degree that I can just connect and just talk and just support and coach and help and serve, that was incredible. Because all the other things behind the scenes is where I really got stuck and really needed help to thrive. But yeah, the abundance versus lack, you know, when you think there's only one opportunity to do something, and if you don't capitalize on that, you're going to lose. You know, ultimately, I had lots of ups and downs with even my wife, and yet over time things worked out. Right? And there's been many an opportunity in business where at the time of initial reach out, I got a no, or I got what I call limbo being nothing. Right? How many of you are defaulting to some form of negative when you don't get a text message back immediately, when you don't get a call back immediately, when you don't get an email back immediately, when you don't get a messenger, a DM, whatever it is, you send somebody something and they don't immediately respond back. What is your default way of thinking? Do you think that they're mad at you, upset with you, they don't like you, they're not interested in working with you? What is that, right? What is that default thinking? And so what I want to do for people is continue to, you know, recommend and reframe, like I do for me, that no does not mean, no is sometimes more likely limbo. So at times we say, they didn't respond, it's a no. It could be true, but do you know for sure? Did they absolutely 100% unequivocally tell you, screw off, no, I'm not interested? And even then, I mean, I'm not the pushy type, so that I wouldn't say that means it's always a no. It just may be the wrong timing. It might have been the wrong day. But at the end of the day, most people aren't getting that. My wife, through Etsy, has probably sent 30,000 messages in the last 2 years. I think it's in the 0.001% of people who have left a negative comment. I mean, literally, I can't, like, negative response to her message. 30,000 messages. They just bought something from her. She follows up and says, hey, I've got this offer for you. It's to buy more, to buy more. That's what she's getting told, to buy. They're getting told to buy more. And when I first told my wife about this, she said, I don't want to bother people. Huh? How many of you don't want to bother people? Right? And so I found, I'm like, honey, you're not bothering people, right? You're not bothering people. And here's what happens. Most don't even respond. Right? Most don't even respond. They don't say anything. Whatever they think, I don't know. We don't know. We don't care. Right? They don't say anything. Right? But some of those people who don't say anything, they still buy. Right? Some of the people who say something don't buy. And some of the people who say something buy. But 0.00001% say something rude. And it's just kind of rude and whatever, but it's nothing. But that's like what I don't even know the math of that. I mean, 30,000 messages, you get like 10 or 15 in 2 years, like it's nothing. It's a bleep in our radar, a bleep. Where'd it go? Right? And so I've seen that in my career when it comes to reaching out and doing things. And that's an abundance mindset, right? That's an abundance mindset, that ability to know that there's a more and more and more, and don't take no's, just put them in limbo and get them out of limbo if you can, right? Get a response. I'd rather assume positive intent than negative intent. Meaning if somebody's not responding and the last interaction, especially in business, sometimes we have really positive interactions. People are, sound like they're really excited to work with us. And then what happens? They ghost you. Oh, that's a good topic to bring up here. This might have to be edited out. I'm going to talk about ghosting. All right. So let's see here. There we go. Ghosting. So ghosting. If you're catching this now, this may be a good time here. I want to talk on this topic of ghosting for a second, because I have definitely been a professional ghoster at times. And I am not proud of that, by the way. I'm making light of it. I know that it definitely causes pain and suffering for people when they can't get a response. But what I've found is in my own life is that ghosting is a byproduct of people being afraid. And whether they can articulate that or they're conscious about it is a whole different conversation. But ultimately, I think subconsciously people are afraid to respond to people when the response is unfavorable because they don't know how the person will respond and the person isn't safe. And depending on what kind of trauma somebody had at a younger age will definitely exacerbate how they'll feel about a person who is a loose cannon and they're not quite sure or they're unpredictable how they're going to respond. And so if you've ever ghosted or been ghosted, get into that headspace. Why do you do it? I know for me, I am truly afraid of the response of the other person. Now, I have gotten better at this over time. I've been able to communicate better over time. But ultimately, that is the biggest thing. Anytime I ever told little white lies with my wife, what am I afraid of? How she's going to respond? If I can have, which we have, not if, when we've had the conversations about this, we've both learned and we both have to practice, because she has to practice not living up to a response that I would assume she might give in something that might be unfavorable, right? And if she does that quote unquote scary response, or vice versa, if I do it, we're all different. I practice daily being able to have people share things with me they've never shared with anybody else and not feel shame and guilt and pressure and force and, you know, and all these negative emotions when they share with me. Cause I don't hear something, oh, wow, my God. Wow. You did that. I can't believe that. Woo. Jeez. Holy shit. You know, like I don't do that. And you're like, oh my God, I'm never gonna share anything else with you again. Right. So practice creating a safe place for people. So that if you want people to ghost you less, share with you more, communicate with you more, practice being a safe place for people to share. Practice saying things like, hey, you know, at times when I don't have somebody respond, let's say I had a great meeting with somebody and now they won't respond to me. But the meeting was great. If the meeting was horrible, that's a different conversation. But if the meeting was incredible, you felt it was incredible, the vibe they gave you was incredible, and I can't get a hold of these people. No matter what you seem to do, they won't respond to you. What I would tend to do, because I've still had things that have gone a couple different ways. One, they don't respond regardless. No matter what you say, they just don't respond. Well, then maybe it's just time to move on, right? But I typically can elicit a response more if I say, hey, when we met, everything seemed really good. It seemed like you were really excited. I've been trying to get a hold of you. Now, this doesn't mean this is 20 minutes after you sent a message. You're like, you know, blasting up with messages. But like, if you had a conversation today, right? Give somebody 24 to 48 hours or make it clear when you're going to reconnect, right? Try to set that if you can. Okay. It's been 48 hours. Now you send a message. You wait 24, 48 hours. They haven't gotten back to you, right? Now you send something again, right? And you maybe try a few different methods. Then you might say something like, hey, you know, the last time we talked, you seemed really excited. I haven't been able to get a hold of you, but I don't want to automatically assume that you're not interested or you don't want it or et cetera, et cetera. If you could just let me know, you're not going to hurt my feelings, you know, or anything else. I just want to make sure that you're getting the message. Because I'm going to assume right now that you're not even getting it or you're not receiving it or it's ending up in junk. And so that's why I'll try to go from a couple different angles, messenger, IG, you know, LinkedIn, email, text, whatever the formats that I can get a hold of them and just elicit that then they can feel safe to go, yeah, you know what? I was excited on the call, but then I thought about it or I talked to my wife or I did this or my business owner. And you know what? We're just not going to do it right now. Okay, that's fine. If at any point in time, you know, you're interested, let me know. Do you think that you might be interested ever? And if they say, no, I'm not interested ever, then just leave them alone. They might say, you know what? No, this is what I do sometimes. I go, you know what? I'm just not interested right now. But I may be interested later. right? So yeah, reach out to me in 3 months. Now, what I don't want is somebody who beats me over the head with a 2x4 to do something now. If they say, no problem, I'll reach out to you in a few months. And I've had people that have reached out to me and then they reach out and I say hello or interact. And then I say, no, you know, I'm not just not interested right now. Why don't you reach out about 6 months? I've had people do this for a few years and I've ended up doing business with them. They're always kind. They're always patient, right? They're always friendly. They're always helpful. And they're not pushy or forceful or anything else. It makes me want to interact because I know I'm not going to get berated by them. And then they reach out and then I end up doing it. So create a safe place. I think a lot of people ghost because they're afraid of how the other person will react. And again, people don't want to disappoint. I mean, it's basic human nature for anybody who's probably not a sociopath to not want to disappoint, to not want to discourage, to not want to frustrate, to not want to let down, to not want to upset another person. And so if I have to interact with you, especially vocally, and reject you, basically, that for a lot of people is uncomfortable. Right? It's very uncomfortable for people to look you. First of all, it's like they can be great actors and be like, oh, this is great. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh my God. Da, 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 da. And then there's at times that's 100% accurate and true. And then there's other times where it's not true, meaning they did it to not have to look you in the eye or hear your voice go, oh, what? Well, yeah, blah, 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 right? Or, well, da, 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 and right? And getting really intense. And so they don't know what they're going to do. So a lot of times they just show excitement and then get off the call and then just ignore, right? And then it leaves you going, what did I do? What did I say? Why could I have done better? I don't know. They rejected me. And it hurts to get rejected. But, you know, the more that we can understand that, the more we can create the safe place to share, to communicate, to not maybe set ourselves up to be ghosted or to ghost. And so, anyways, so I thought that was a good thing to bring up here. And that's what I like about these two sometimes is to just let them free flow. You know, there's topics that come up in natural flow of things that could be beneficial. So again, if you have any comments, thoughts, or questions, please reach out. Don't hesitate to connect. I'm here to help. I'm here to help, and I want the content to be directed by your thoughts and questions. I love to react. And then if you need help, if you need support, reach out. This is what I do. Still do my video production from time to time, actually, believe it or not. Anybody is curious about that. Usually helping a buddy out, Mr. Ryan Hanlon. Just love being around him. But yeah, my primary thing is coaching. My primary thing is being able to help you get unstuck, you know, untangle your mind and help you move forward in a way that helps you be really excited about the things you get to do. And I want to continue living and breathing. You know, there's a lot where I practice what I preach. And then there's things where at times like this is that idea, get up. Like this is for me. I don't know what that is for you, right? What is it for you that you've got to show up and do more of that is going to help your business or your life or light your soul on fire? Like, I love doing this. I love to support, encourage, motivate, inspire, help unlock people, unleash people so that they can live the life that they dream about. Right. And ultimately, in the last few years, even though I didn't do as much things in a promotional, outwardly public standpoint, I was ultimately living a life that I loved. And the part that I wasn't, as I knew I wasn't doing the stuff that can make an impact. Right. And also create awareness for the work that I do with people and the coaching that I do in private. So that's why I'm taking a couple hours a day to make sure that I get on here and I publicly share, I publicly inspire, I publicly motivate, encourage, jumpstart, do my thing so that if we never connect, if we never talk, if you never reach out, if we never work together, I can still make an impact on your life. But if you want to go deeper, if you want to dig deeper, if you want me to personally, privately work with you to help, you know, work through things. And I'll say a lot of my coaching, there's no homework. There's no, I hate all that stuff. I hate being told you got to have this done by Friday. You got to do this by this day. You got to do this thing. Do this. I hate all that. So if you don't like homework, if you don't like any of that, don't worry. There's none of that. There's no pressure. My mind is almost laid back. And a lot of it, it's not about asking me questions. It's about expressing yourself. There's something healing in expressing yourself. And I do it all with an app. It's all asynchronous. So there's no scheduled calls. It can fit around your life and your schedule. You don't have to worry about showing up at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. You can simply record your thoughts, express yourself whenever you want, 24 hours a day, and I'll get back to you with personalized custom, you know, advice to you, right? So anyways, if you're curious about how that works and how that looks, don't hesitate to reach out on whatever platform. I stream this into a number of different places. The content's all over, but if you have questions, thoughts, whatever platform you're on, we should see the message. And then the mymechanic.net, you can go there and go to the contact page. That's one of the best places to either get into Voxer or send me a message. So anywho, rock and roll, my friends. Have an incredible day, and we'll talk soon. See ya. Bye.